Welcome, new and old friends. My name is 242, and today, two goss and paranormal / ghost stories. I thought I'd start the new year in some very spooky areas. These stories are about otherworldly things happening, things that just aren't as easy to explain. Now, with all that being said, turn off your lights. Make sure your doors and windows are locked. Things are about to get spooky. Weird Encounters at Sea by I'm Unarmed Rove. So basically this happened to me, male 25, when I was working as a second officer on board a heavy lifting vessel about a year ago during my watch. Please excuse any mistakes in my writing. English is my second language, and I speak better than I write. The scariest thing I've encountered was during a routine night shift while passing the Atlantic Ocean. I was doing laps around the bridge console to get some exercise while on watch. Second officer from 0-100 hours to 400 hours, and to relax for a bit. While passing the bridge window, I saw someone walking from aft to forward on the starboard side, which was not unusual, just the time at 01:30 was surprising. The crew was allowed to go outside whenever they wanted, so I didn't mind it at first. When I passed by the window again, after doing a full lapse, I noticed he was standing between the cargo hold number 1 and the windbreaker, with his back turned to me, looking towards forward. I stopped to see what he was doing, and suddenly he turned around, looking straight at me. He was starting to wave with his hand while standing perfectly still. This made me uneasy because at this time I started to notice some weird things. For example, he was wearing white overalls, which is normal for officers but not our company. All overalls for officers are rated in red and silver reflective strips on the shoulders. Also, he was wearing an orange helmet, which could have been possible. We have some, but all crew have white helmets. Also, it should have been impossible to see me from forward. All lights on the bridge were off and the deck lights were on, so reflecting when watching from below. So while this person is standing there waving at me, I walk over to the console and grab my radio, and I try calling him. No response. He just kept waving, following me while I walk around the bridge with his head. I saw him on the starboard side bridge and the radio was on the port side bridge, near the cart table. After calling him again and only receiving static noise, I went back to the light console to turn on the bridge spotlight, which floods the deck with light. I look up from the console and he was gone. So I think to myself, okay, he might be hiding in the stairway to the paint storage, or he's inside the passageway to the forge station inside the windbreaker, and I wait with the lights on. After 30 minutes or so, I decide to turn off the lights, but kept watching for some time, but I haven't seen him again. So the next morning, I asked around if anyone was on deck during my watch, but everyone confirms that they were sleeping during that time. Which made sense to me, and it seemed like they were telling the truth. Also, no one owns a white overall, because again, our overalls are all red. Why would anyone walk around on deck at 0130 hours? We have no safety round, and usually no additional lookout who is awake at this time. Usually, it's only me during my watch. Some guys thought it was a prank, but no one knew anything about anyone planning or doing anything like this, not even when I asked them to tell me the truth. I believe them because why would they lie about this? I mean, I wouldn't be mad about it, not going to lie, they would have gotten me good. So I would have been laughing together with the pranksters, but no one said anything like it or admitted to it, even months later. What really freaked me out about this is the stiff movement of the person and the sudden staring while standing still. I can't explain what I saw, And I have no reasonable explanation to this day because no one will admit to pranking me or going on deck at that time. Also, the sudden disappearance when turning on the floodlight is still unexplainable. I also checked the spot where I saw the person and there's no evidence of hiding anywhere. The paint store stairway and the other store was locked every evening, and it was still locked when I checked it the next morning. So yeah, this is the only experience I've had while working at sea for the last 5 years. I still can't explain what I saw. I don't believe it was some hallucination, because I saw him for at least 5 minutes, from walking to the forward and standing in the forward looking at me, and turned away a few times to grab the radio or walk to the console. He only disappeared when I turned on the floodlight. But this was the only time I saw anything like it.
Could somebody help me close this window? I think it's stuck, I called out to my friends in the other room.
When all of a sudden the window gave way and proceeded to crush every bone in my hands as they were crushed into the windowsill. My Paranormal Events by Go-Go Da Gorilla. To give some info, I'm 14 male and I'm Catholic. These help you to know how I felt during the events of this post. 1. Hammy. Hammy was my first hamster and my only pet for a while because my dog lives at my grandma's house because my mom would constantly jump from house to house. One day, I was getting ready for school, and I noticed Hammy was looking tired and seemed sick. I told my mom, and she said she would get some medicine for him later that day. I got home and noticed Hammy wasn't in his cage. I told my mom, and she said Hammy died. I was deeply saddened. It was my first time ever losing any of my pets, and I cried. Now, one of the reasons I loved Hammy so much was that he made me feel safe at night. I was about 6 during this time, and I couldn't sleep in silence. There had to be a constant noise, like the air conditioning. Hammy would stay upright in his hamster wheel, letting me sleep in peace. After Hammy's passing, for the next 2 weeks, I still heard the hamster wheel running, as if he was giving me 2 weeks of safety in the night. A lot of stuff and spiritual stuff happened in that trailer that I lived in for a while. 2. Brother. I have 3 siblings, 2 alive and 1 passed. My brother lived for only 2 hours. He passed in 2008, a year before I was born. My mother had told me about him when I was 4, and I told my sister when she was 3. One day, my sister and I were playing in our room. We saw a piece of rolled up paper slowly float above us and moved all the way to our closet and into one of the containers that we kept our toys in and then dropped. We told our mom and she didn't believe me, then got mad at me saying I scared my sister. Me and my sister always referred to this as our brother visiting us. This event happened only a few days after we took a framed picture of him into our house. And while now being more strong in my faith, I don't know what it was and pretty sure it wasn't him. This memory always reopens when me and my sister talk about stuff. 3. Weird apparitions and voices. These are more recent. First apparition is one of my mom in a completely different part of the house. I got home after riding my bike when I was 7 to 8. I saw my mom in the kitchen and heard a voice say, "Come here," for about 5 seconds before my actual mom called me. I told my mom about it and she said something like, "They're trying to get you." Now, that's the last of the paranormal events that happened in that house because shortly after my mom's second divorce, we moved out to my grandma's during COVID. Then my mom was having my second sister and we moved to a new house in a bigger city, where I currently live. That leads us to the last events. 4. Voices and whistles. My mom calls me by whistling or calling my name. At the time, I'll hear these and not like faintly, like she's actually calling me. It happens even when she isn't home. But the worst one happened about 2 years back. My mom, my current stepdad, and my youngest sister were out to get some bread from a bakery. I was alone in my room. Then I heard my family talking and even the sound of my sister as they walked up the porch stairs, and I waited for them to knock. I was right next to the door so I could open it as soon as they did. I waited for about 3 minutes, but they never did. I looked out the window, but no one was there, not even our car. It was very vivid and accurate. It genuinely sounded like they were outside. It scared me, so I went to my room. After a while, I heard it again. I could hear my stepdad talking with my mom, but they weren't there. I prayed and it stopped. Strangely, at the same time, both my mom and stepdad were unable to be called during this as I tried calling them. When they got home, I told my mom everything and she said, "That's weird." Final paranormal event. 5. Ave Maria. Like I said, I'm Catholic, born, baptized, raised, took communion, and will die Catholic. It was late at night and I should have been asleep. I went to the restroom and walked back to my room. I felt like I was being watched and felt something was near me. I ignored it and walked back to my room. I prayed a Hail Mary and during that I smelt roses. Now roses are associated with the Blessed Mother. I prayed feeling safe. It was as if Mary was reassuring me I was safe. She was keeping whatever was out there so it couldn't get me. I slept feeling safe and protected. When I was a child, I would sprint up the stairs from our creepy basement, convinced I was being chased by an unseen horror. Returning as an adult, I confronted my childhood fears and descended the stairs, only to hear a chilling voice in the shadows whisper,
"You're too slow to escape now."
Three knocks and a lady repeatedly screaming. By Rando Coco. First time posting here, and this is not my only paranormal experience, just the most recent. It happened on November the 16th of 2023, around 3:26 a.m. in Toronto, Canada. I woke up and heard a lady on the streets just yelling, "Please help me," on repeat. I'm on around the 12th floor, so sound was coming from down on the streets. Initially, I didn't think much of it, but from the moment I woke up, I already felt something wasn't right. And within 5 seconds of me getting up, I heard 3 knocks on my wall, and that sent chills down my spine. At that point, I got scared and knew something is definitely not right with this. My thought process is, do I want to help the lady? Maybe, but I feel this is more an invitation call. If I were to go to my balcony and look, I feel like I might accidentally fall for the spiritual trap. But then, what if she did need help? Am I a bad/scaredy cat and just ignore a person in need? So I just waited and listened. She didn't say anything else, just repeated and repeated, "Please help me." Another thought I have was, if she really needed help, there are several condos with security guards in the lobby looking out, and she'd be able to ask any of them to call the police. I know she's not in danger, because if she was in danger of getting attacked, she would enter any of the condos to hide and get security to help her quickly. The most interesting thing, which reinforced my thoughts of it being paranormal, besides the 3 knocks, was that when I stopped focusing on the screams, I can hear the screams as cats meow. At that point, I just prayed for protection. Going on Google for the Lord's Prayer and YouTube for other prayers, asking God and Jesus to protect my space and my soul. That made me feel better, but the scream was still going. After about 10 to 15 minutes, her screams faded away, so I just went back to sleep. I know a lot of people will think that they won't be able to go back to sleep. For me, I can, because this is not my first time I dealt with the paranormal. I used to need a nightlight or someone there to watch me when I was sleeping when I was a kid. But after seeing a ghost for the first time, then I was actually able to sleep without a nightlight, which is kind of in the reverse. I could go back to sleep because my faith is strong. Mind you, I was still scared throughout, but I experienced this type of evil shit before, and God in the Bible prayer did help me with that as well, so I felt it to be fine this time as well. One last interesting thing for the night was my dream after. There were no ghosts or demons in my dream. It was just me and my condo, but with a lot of clutter. In the dream, I quickly realized I was in a dream and wanted to wake up, but I couldn't. I had to put a lot of focus and energy to wake back up. It was around 4:30 a.m. at this point. From my Chinese background, I know when someone calls your name at night, don't answer it. Also, from other Western paranormal shows and stories, I understand the three knocks are a quest to enter your spiritual space. I don't know what I did to even cause this to happen. I was not watching horror or doing some witchy shit or even a Ouija board. I wasn't even thinking about the paranormal. The only thing I can think of for this to happen is my mom's in China right now, and she loves going to spiritualists and temples and getting readings and talismans. I hope she's not the cause for this, but I will be asking her what she did when she gets back and what she was doing exactly on November 15th to 16th. Just wanted to share my experience and ask if anyone experienced the three knocks and what do you do or not do after. Maybe I'm overthinking and it's nothing. Or maybe it's another paranormal experience. After finding several half-eaten apples, he hid inside the pantry during the night to see which of his kids was responsible. No one came to eat the apples that night, but unfortunately when he visited the doctor due to abdominal pain the next day, they informed him half of his liver was missing. My cat came to say he approves. By Diligent Hedgehog 129. I just wanted to share this with someone, but I wasn't sure who. I've been very lonely lately and questioning if I made the right decisions. I moved to a new part of town recently and started a new job. I have thought several times about how I love my new house and job. And then I thought about how I live alone and struggle with creating any kinds of relationships. It's only me and my dog. I've often felt the only constants in my life are my dog and my dad. Even though I want to throttle him sometimes, I love my dad so much and I know he loves me. I could never doubt it. He makes it so clear with his words and his actions. However, I find myself wondering if I'm where I'm supposed to be. It seems like everyone my age has spouses and kids, family, established ways of life, aren't only friends with their parents, etc. And my life doesn't feel like it has any kind of order or is established. Very much, am I good enough? My cat, we'll call him Whiskers, died several years ago during a time when it felt like my life was falling apart. Whiskers was my first ever pet. I had him from age 5 to 22. My family had this kind of running joke that he was my cat because our personalities matched so well. He died naturally, just old age. But he was the sweetest cat. Every person that got to meet him commented on it. I miss him so much. My dad wanted to go out to dinner with me tonight after work. He picked me up, so when he dropped me back off at my house, I asked if he wanted to go with me to walk my dog. Of course he said yes. I was happy that I got to show him the neighborhood and a little park next to my house. We kept talking about how much we both liked the area and all the cute little houses nearby. Then we began to go down a little street at the insistence of my dog, which I assumed just wanted to explore. While walking down it, a cat sprinted out of the total dark towards us, meowing. He came running up to us, wanting us to pet him. Fully meowing, leaning out our hands, purring, even pawing at my dad's leg. He even rubbed up against my dog a few times. I have walked down this street several times and never seen any cats. He looked just like Whiskers, a large gray cat with green eyes. He had spots of fur missing like he'd gotten some fights. Whiskers was a big hunter, always getting into fights. The cat's nose was also dripping, a signature of Whiskers during any time of the year. He walked with us down the rest of the street, and when he turned around, he walked back until he got even with the yard he ran from. Then he stopped and watched us walk to the end of the street. He acted like he was going to start following us again, but stopped. He watched us with his full attention the whole time. We looked back at one point, and he was just a little speck, but definitely still watching. It seems a lot like I met just a really curious, friendly kitty on our walk. But it was crazy how much he reminded me of Whiskers. It felt like seeing him again. It was like he came to see me with my little family of sorts in my new home to say he approves. He likes it here and he recognizes me. Whiskers always remind me of my previous life and happiness I felt like I had lost. And he came back to see my new life. Update. I saw new Whiskers again last night after trying for several weeks. He wasn't nearly as talkative or affectionate, but he still wanted to hang out. I sat on the sidewalk for a few minutes and he wanted me to pet him. Then I brought out the treats I had and another kitty friend came out. Me and my Shih Tzu and both cats probably sat on the sidewalk for about 20 minutes just hanging out. Definitely someone's pet. The house he came from had a porch light on last night, and there was plenty of kids' toys and things. If he's a lot like Whiskers, he's a good family cat and super smart. In reality, it was super cold the night me and my dad were out, and the kitty probably heard us talking and thought we would help him get inside. But I like to think Whiskers talked to him a bit and told him to come see us. Or maybe he has new family and taken care of and just wanted me to know that I'm okay now. Plus, I like that he kind of introduced me to his neighbor that also let me pet it. I love cats. The hooded man gave me a bell and told me every time I rang it, I would receive 100 gold coins. But there would be a commutative cost that wouldn't directly affect me. I'm not the smartest man, so it took me quite literally until I was the only one left on Earth before I realized the price of the bell. And now I sit, tears streaming, my trembling hand ready to ring it one final time. My girlfriend saw my uncle's death by soggy toast from the tub. This has always struck me as being a bit weird, and I'm still not quite sure what to think of it. I met my girlfriend, 22, online 2 years ago. We live 4 hours apart and haven't met at the time. We had been talking for a couple weeks at this point, and I hadn't mentioned my uncle to them. He had been a huge part of my life, and he stepped in as a father figure for me before I had to move far away from him at 9 years old. When I was in my teens, my uncle unfortunately passed away. His death had greatly affected me, and I'll be honest, I'm still not over it. I never told my girlfriend exactly how he died. I just let them know he had passed away and that I missed him and have some regrets that I didn't contact him more. My girlfriend had never met my uncle as they had never been in the same state, and I had never even shown my girlfriend a picture of him as well. Well, one really nice day, I decided to walk to work. While I was walking, I was speaking to my girlfriend over the phone. When it seemed a bit out of nowhere, my girlfriend asked me what my uncle looked like. I was a bit perplexed, but described my uncle to my girlfriend, who oddly enough was giving me details of what he looked like before I could even get those details out. My uncle and I did not look alike at all. Then the really odd question was asked. They asked if I would be willing to share how my uncle died. I agreed to share the story with them, as it's a bit tragic and upsetting. I won't go over all the details here, as it's very personal. I apologize, but I don't want to put his death on the internet. He had an accident, though, and that was truly heart-wrenching. As I told my girlfriend the story, they began giving me details on everything that happened. I was shocked and a little unsettled. My girlfriend was able to practically tell me how my uncle died in details about where he was when it happened. I didn't know what to say, but my girlfriend then told me I had a dream and had seen this all happen. I'm not sure how that happened. I do know that my uncle sometimes appears in dreams and checks up with us. My mom had told me he appeared in her dream and told her she needed to wake up so she was ready to take me to school in the morning before it was too late. He's appeared in my dreams as well with his iconic laugh and checking up on me. I'm not sure what that means. I'm not sure if he shared that information with my girlfriend and why his death, if he did, or if it was beyond that. It's still something I think about 2 years later with my girlfriend. I ran in a panic when my neighbor's son had told me that someone had fallen into the old town well. My fear only grew as I was pushed into the dark, damp hole, falling to my death and seeing the rotting remains of my predecessors. Weird Noises in the Woods by J.H. Benico. When I was in high school, about 15 years ago, a group of friends and I were hanging out at our friend Dale's house. For some backstory, we live way out in the country, also technically part of the Appalachian, and the kind of middle nowhere where the nearest neighbors are a few miles up the road. Dale happened to have a cave near his property that we like to explore and be dumb teenagers in. To get to the cave, you have to walk roughly a mile through dense forests and cross a big field. We had yet to find the end of the cave system despite exploring for hours at a time multiple times. One day, we had spent the better part of the afternoon exploring the caves and it had gotten dark by the time we emerged. We already had flashlights, so it was no big deal. My memory's a little fuzzy on the exact details, but for some reason our friend Sam decided to go back to the house a little earlier. I want to say we had ordered pizza or something, and he went to meet the driver. The rest of us started making our way back through the woods to Dale's house when we started hearing voices in the woods. We were asking each other if we heard that, and where it was coming from, but we each had a different direction of where we thought it was coming from. It was a childlike voice, and it sounded like it was talking or whispering, but you couldn't make out what was being said. At this point, we thought it was one of our friends messing with us, and we started to talk back to it. It sounded like child giggling, and then the flashlight started to flicker and die. We had one dim light left to get the rest of the way back. We were all thoroughly freaked out, prank or not, and hightailed it back to the house, adrenaline pumping. We all got to the house and shut the door, and I felt a sense of safety for a split second before the crucifix on the wall literally came off the wall and broke on the floor. It literally seemed like something out of a bad horror movie. But we all watched it legit come off the wall and crash to the ground for no apparent reason. Before that moment, I hadn't been convinced it wasn't our friend Sam that was messing with us, even though he really wasn't the type. We all started word vomiting on Sam, trying to explain what had just happened and question if he had something to do with it. But he generally seemed freaked out and confused. He actually said that on his way back to the house earlier, he kept hearing weird things and seeing lights in the woods, and he thought it was us trying to play a prank on him. I don't know what it was. Maybe our friend is a great actor, but I honestly don't think it was a prank. The feeling I got in the woods, like every hair was standing on end, goosebumps on my goosebumps, and every fiber of my being screaming to run. I've never felt like that again, and I never want to. I'll finally be free of my debt, I assured myself as I kicked out the stool beneath me. Next thing I knew, I was in the middle of what I recognized as a summoning circle, and clearly saw the IRS crest on the far wall. Unexplainable incident that has burned into my brain. By Chris410001. Just a quick backstory. I grew up in Providence, Rhode Island, and anyone who's ever lived there knows it's very busy and noisy all day. The riptide of buses, traffic, businesses everywhere. But at night, it gets very quiet and very eerie sometimes. This story is about an incident that happened to me when I was 15 and got my first job at McDonald's. This gives me chills every time I think about it. I was 15 and just got hired at McDonald's down the street from where I live. It was perfect because I could get to and from work without worrying about getting a ride from my parents. While working there, I met some kids my age and became close with them. Unfortunately, they weren't the greatest of kids. They were very rebellious. They would clown around at work, act disrespectful to customers, typical 90s punks. I slowly started becoming like them. I began disrespecting my parents, which totally was not like me. But I was always that person with not many friends, so I wanted to fit in. Side note, I was a very sheltered person growing up and didn't really get around much because my parents were very overprotective of me. One night around 10 p.m, I finished watching Monday's Night Raw and went downstairs to grab something to eat. I opened the fridge and heard my dad's footsteps. He wore these slippers that tapped loudly on the tile floor. "Chris, I asked you all day to take out the trash. They're coming tomorrow, so do it now." Now, normally I would have taken it out the first time he asked, but now that I was getting older and becoming a smartass, I didn't think it should be my responsibility anymore. "I work now and go to school. You take it out," I replied. My dad's eyes got wide as I had never spoken to him like this before. He leaned in and said softly, "As long as you live here, you will help out. Now take out the trash or leave." I called his bluff, and rather than just simply taking the trash out, I rebelled like a dumb teen that I was. "Fine, I'll leave if you're going to kick me out over that. Don't bother looking for me. I'm done living in this stupid house," I said as I opened the door and slammed it. I walked towards McDonald's to see if any of my friends were there, and they weren't. Just the maintenance guy finishing up the cleaning. Of course, of all nights it was raining, so I had to find somewhere to go to stay dry. There was a bridge with an overpass a little ways down the street, so I started walking towards it. The whole time, I'm regretting what I did and wish I just took out the damn trash. I finished getting to the bridge and I climb up the hill to the little section in the corner to stay out of view. I remember in school learning to go here in the case of a tornado, so I knew it was safe. I patiently and stubbornly waited, assuming that my parents would call the cops, which, in my mind, would show me that they cared. An hour goes by. Nothing. No sirens. No cars were even on the road. It was getting pretty cold, but I promised myself I wouldn't give in. I crossed my arms over my legs and fell asleep. I woke up violently from a semi wailing on his horn over the overpass. I looked all around confused. How long was I out for? I looked towards McDonald's and saw an old man in a gray suit sitting at the bus stop. It was weird. He was sitting still facing forward. I assumed it must be 5 a.m. since he was waiting for the bus. I stood up very upset that my parents never even tried to find me and began walking to the bus stop. Now, I'm a very outgoing person, and I trust my gut. As I walked closer to the old guy, I didn't get any negative vibes as I approached him. He slowly turned his head and looked at me and smiled. Not a creepy or uncomfortable smile, a general peaceful smile. I smiled back and decided instead of going home, maybe I can vent to this guy and get some advice. I asked if he minded if I sat down. He smiled again and gestured towards the seat.
Is everything okay?
He said with a concern.
Yeah, I just ran away from home. My parents don't respect me anymore and how much I do all day, I said. I began telling them the story, and I noticed as the time went by, he was becoming more and more anxious, and his smile began turning into a frown. He began to start breathing loud and cut me off dead sentence and said,
"You need to go home now," with a stern voice.
I was confused. I figured maybe his bus was coming soon and he wanted to say that before he left. I looked down in frustration because that's not what I wanted to hear. Suddenly, I felt a strong grip on my arm. He grabbed me and looked me dead in my eyes. His eyes were terrifying at this point. Blood shot him wide and I was shaking in fear, totally torn off guard by his complete switch in his persona. He was literally shaking like he was afraid of something. He kept looking down the street and then back into my eyes.
"You need to go home now," he screamed at me.
At this point, this guy was starting to scare me. So I stood up and nodded, and he let go of my arm. Nervously, I started walking back to my house. I figured my mom was already out making coffee, so my plan of sneaking back in the house and hiding in the basement was not going to happen. Just to see if she'd be up, I looked at my watch. It was 1:30 a.m. My heart stopped and my throat became dry. Why was that man at the bus stop at 1:30 a.m. when the buses aren't even running? I turned back towards him to look at him. He was gone. Now, I'm scared, confused, and I needed to get home. I used my spare key to get into the house. I opened the door quietly, and everyone was asleep. I slowly opened the basement door and made my way downstairs to the storage area in the back. I buried myself under bags of clothes so they wouldn't find me. Figured I could get some sleep. The image of that guy kept popping in my head, and I was so freaked out. It just made no sense. Just then, I heard loud sirens passing by, and not just one, multiple bursts of sirens coming every 10 seconds or so. I smiled, thinking I won. My parents had called the police to look for me. My plan worked. And now, I'll make them worry until morning and regret kicking me out. I made myself a little bed and covered myself up to stay hidden and fall asleep. I woke up to hear my mother sobbing upstairs. I looked outside the little bedroom window and saw daylight, so I figured I'd go upstairs and get my apology. I opened the basement door and walked into the kitchen. My mother was sitting at the dining room table with her head in her arms. She immediately looked up at me and gasped. She stood up and ran over to me and hugged me so tightly. "I thought you were dead," she muffled into my jacket. I slowly pulled away and looked at her confused.
"Why would you think that?" I asked.
What she said next sent chills throughout my entire body. The night before, around 1:40 a.m., a drunk driver crashed into the bus stop in front of the McDonald's and was completely destroyed. I started breathing heavy and realized the man saved my life. If he didn't tell me to leave when he did, I would have been sitting there and would have been killed. So many emotions were running through me, I didn't know how to handle it, so I just hugged my mother and immediately began to cry. I apologized and realized that I missed the old me. I almost got myself killed for my own stubborn stupidity. I dropped those friends and got into a new crowd at school. And from that point on, anytime the trash was full, I just took it out. I don't know who or what that was at the bus stop, but thank you for saving my life. I gasped for air, having finished yelling a long string of random, nonsensical words into the wooden cannon below as quickly as I could. I carefully checked each word that echoed carried back to me against the sequence I had written on my notepad, remarking to myself that it almost got them all right this time. And with that, our time together is coming to an end. As always, I'd like to thank the writers who let me read their stories today. I really enjoyed all these stories. The one about the guy at the bus station that just disappeared after telling him to run away was quite creepy. The writer actually put it under creepy encounters, but the way the guy disappeared and acted, I have a feeling it's more paranormal. I don't think that person was actually there. Plus, why was someone there that early in the morning, late at night, whichever you like to put it as. And I enjoy a happy paranormal story every once in a while, like your cat coming to say they approve your new life. Whether or not this is true and was just a random cat, it gave peace of mind, it feels like, to the writer of that story. And sometimes that's all you really need. And as always, please remember to trust your gut. If something feels wrong or off or isn't quite right and is telling you to leave or not go towards it, trust it. And worst comes to worst, you're wrong, but at least you tried to be safe. I'd also like to wish you all a happy new year as well. If you know anyone who might enjoy this podcast, please share it with them. And if you're on a platform that allows it, please leave a review. All this really helps the podcast grow quite a bit. If you'd like to get early access to the audio, I do have Patreon, where for $1 a month you get that. If you'd like to do a one-time donation, I do have PayPal and Buy Me a Coffee. All my links, including the ones to my social and website, are in the show notes. I highly recommend looking at the show notes every once in a while. But as always, guys, thank you for watching and listening. It always has and always will mean the world to me. Sleep tight and don't let 42 bite.